Good morning and welcome to our Bible study. Brother Scott is giving me extra 5 minutes so that we can make more progress in our studies. So thank you very much, Brother Scott. Last week, I had some good discussions with some of you about the lesson, especially that part which we studied in relation to spiritual gifts, natural talents and spiritual gifts, and how God blesses us with both with the natural talents and also spiritual gifts, and how they are independent, but at the same time, we can see some interrelationship and how God can channelize certain spiritual gifts through our natural talents. Now, we just started with this slide. There are some general commands in the Word of God, but those general commands must be considered in the light of spiritual gifts also. A good example is, all should exhort one another, Hebrews 10:25. We all are called to exhort one another. And in an assembly setting, in our meetings, and personally also, we do that. We are commanded to do that. The word exhortation in the New Testament means encouragement, consolation, and the modern word which many of us would prefer would be counseling. So that also come under the parameters of the word. So we all are called to do these things. But at, when we think about spiritual gifts, some may be more gifted by the Lord to do that. So that is why we read about gift of exhortation in Romans chapter 12, verse 8. In the next couple of weeks, we will get into all those specific gifts. But Romans 12, 8 talk about one of the spiritual gifts mentioned there is the gift of exhortation. So how we will reconcile with that the general command for everyone to exhort? All of us have a responsibility to exhort and to encourage and to counsel as best as we can, depending on the Spirit of God. And God would help each one of us to meet the needs of others by giving us appropriate words or appropriate counsel. But sometimes we feel our own limitation and deficiency in such situation. In such situation as what doctors do, we must do some referrals. That is, we may know some brother or sister who may be more gifted in the area of exhortation. So we can refer that friend or that person and introduce that person to that brother or sister so that they can follow up on what you have started and do it more effectively. Many people are reluctant to do that because they think they themselves have to do it, you know, and they feel that it is, you know, below their dignity to refer somebody to someone so that I couldn't do it. Such things come from our carnal mind, a competitive spirit. But that is not how spiritual gifts work. There is the gift of exhortation. That means God has specifically equipped and gifted some people in the body of Christ to carry out that work more efficiently and more effectively. We must be sure of that. Because the word of God tells that there is the gift of exhortation given to some people. But in a general sense, all of us are called to participate in the ministry of exhortation to some extent as and when there is a need. Another good example. These are very practically very important. That's why I am picking up some good examples, you know. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Talks about the giving, the example of the Macedonian church in giving. And there is the encouragement for all believers to give sacrificially. But again, Romans 12 verse 8 mentions giving as a gift. So none of us can say that I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't want to put anything in the offering box plate, or I don't want to help anyone. But then how do we reconcile this? People who all of us are called to give and to help as best as we can and as much as we can. Nobody is exempted from that. We all are called to sacrificially and cheerfully give as the Lord has prospered us. How much the Lord has prospered you, only you know and the Lord knows. How much the Lord has prospered me financially, only I know and the Lord knows. So it is nobody else's business. But at the same time, we, each one of us, have a responsibility as the Lord has prospered you. That is the most important principle of giving in the New Testament. As the Lord has prospered you, I know, on the basis of proportionately, how much the Lord has blessed you in proportionate to that. And how? What is the proportion? In the Old Testament, it was clear, the tithing. In the New Testament, you prayerfully decide that proportion. Okay? So all should give. Then Romans 12:8, we will get into that passage a little later in our study. Giving is mentioned as a gift. So what is the difference? What is the contrast of that command or that spiritual gift in Romans 12:8 with the general command to give? That is, those who are gifted to give, they would be more liberal, they would be more generous, they will be more sacrificial. Or, you know, the word of God doesn't explain how this gift plays out. But using our common sense, we can, this is the way I would think. All are supposed to give, but those who have the gift of giving may be more sensitive to the needs of others. They smell it out, they sense out. You know, nobody has to make any appeal. They know, they sense, they are looking for opportunities where and how they can help. And they have a burden to help too. They have a burden, they have a passion, and they use wisdom and discernment and prayer and care in helping others. So it is not just a random giving. It is more with sensitivity to needs, with a burdened heart, with a sacrificial attitude, and with the joy they give. So all are supposed to give, but some of you give more and help others because that may be the way the Lord has gifted you. Friends, brothers and sisters, the gift of giving, mentioned in the Word of God as one of the spiritual gifts. But nobody, none of us can say that. I don't have it, so nobody should take an exemption from this. That is the meaning of general commands. Generally, we all are called to help and to serve and to teach and to exhort. But sometimes in the assembly settings, because we don't have a clergy, we don't have a pastor, we encourage everyone to do things, and that is good. But I personally feel that sometimes we have taken it to the other extreme, that those spiritual gifts are not well utilized, or we don't give proper attention to that. Because it is that mentality that everyone can do everything. In one sense, that is good, and that is our privilege and responsibility. But at the same time, the other side of the coin is we must be sensitive to the spiritual gifts God has given us, so that those who are gifted in certain areas should be recognized and encouraged, so that they will be able to do that work more effectively and efficiently. So the ultimate aim of spiritual gift is to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, Another example, all should witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. God has called all of us to be his witnesses. But Ephesians 4:11, the gift of an evangelist. So what is the deal here? All of us are called to evangelize. We all, you know, our outreach, and we encourage, you know, the whole assembly to be involved in outreach, sharing and personal work and in whichever way we can. But some people are gifted in the area of evangelism, and they are able to share the gospel with exceptional clarity and effectiveness, and also with a burden and a passion for souls. And that becomes evident, you know, in such people's ministry. So all of us should witness and evangelize, but when God has gifted a person with the gift of evangelism, he will be able to witness and evangelize with better clarity and with better understanding and effectiveness, so that people may be brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. Here also we can use the referral method, that when we talk to someone and we are not really able to answer their questions, or we feel our limitation, you know, that is an indication that we should definitely introduce that person or open the door of opportunity for someone else to follow up on what you have been trying to do. And if we keep our eyes wide open, there are many, many opportunities the Lord will give us like that. And today, as many of us are involved in, even through many, you know, social media platform, and even through and also through the help of various technology, we will be able to be in touch with God's people. And when they make requests for us to help others, we are able to do that very effectively. Another interesting point, I'm just taking some examples. All should walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Our life is a life of faith. We are saved by faith, we live by faith, and the life of each and every one of us should be characterized by faith. But again, you know, we read in 1 Corinthians 12:9, you get to that passage later in when we go through each and every spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:9 mentions faith as a spiritual gift. So what does that mean? We all believe the Lord, we all trust the Lord, and unbelief is a sin on the part of anyone. But some people, like George Mueller of Bristol, oh, what a story, what a tremendous story of faith that is, you know. Anthony Norris Gross, the father of faith missions. And what is the difference? The difference that they wholeheartedly trusted the Lord, not only them, many others we know, wholeheartedly trusted the Lord to provide all their needs, you know, and simply trusted in the word of God and in the promises of God. They had unswerving faith in the power and promises of God to meet their needs, so they will not employ many methods which others may legitimately employ for their life or for their mission or ministry. You may have freedom to legitimately employ certain methods, but they refrain from any of those things because of their absolute confidence that God is able to do that. So that kind of fervent faith, that in the midst of impossibilities and improbabilities, and in the midst of invisibility, God would make a way, and wholeheartedly trusting. Do all of us have that? No. But when we find such faith, that is a great encouragement for us to be encouraged, to be blessed, and to exercise more faith in the Lord. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 9, that is why it is mentioned there that gift is the gift of faith. Many a times when we think about spiritual gifts, I have seen that many people do not consider the comparison contrast with the general command. So we continue to do what you are doing faithfully, happily, willingly, to the best of your ability. And where the Lord has gifted you, you will be more effective and the Lord will use you there more to be a blessing, to channel of blessing to others. Okay, another very important truth which worth studying, gift versus office. Now, when we think about office, not in a kind of a hierarchical or in a denominational sense, but like elders and deacons, they are the two offices for the function of the local church, you know. So the elders or pastors and deacons. So if you think about offices, those are the two offices that are described in the Word of God. Now, a person may have certain spiritual gifts but not occupy any office in the church. You may be a very gifted person, a gifted brother, a gifted sister, but you may not be a deacon or an elder or an officially recognized official person in the assembly. So a person can have, believers can have spiritual gifts, but it is not necessary that they have to occupy an office. You know, some people also bring in the office of pastor teacher. You may be a very good teacher of the Word of God, but you may not be a recognized teacher. You may not be an itinerant teacher. You know, that doesn't mean that you don't have the gift of teaching, but the sphere of your ministry may be little limited compared with certain other teachers, or the Lord may be using you more in a local setting than in an itinerant kind of setting. So the important thing is a person may have certain spiritual gifts, including sisters, but they may not occupy any office in the church. Of course, sisters do not occupy any office in the church, but this is applicable to brothers, that you may be a gifted person, but you may not have any office in the church. But those who hold offices also should exercise certain spiritual gifts. For example, in the qualifications of the elders, 1 Timothy chapter 3, only two gifts or two abilities are mentioned there. One is he must be apt teacher, should be able to teach the Word of God. And the other is he should manage his own household well. So the managerial skill probably related to the leadership ability and the teaching ability. So those who hold offices also should exercise certain spiritual gifts. A gifted person may not occupy an office. Okay. A gifted person may not occupy an office. But one who occupies an office must also be a gifted person.
Can you hear me?
In at least in certain areas, as the Word of God prescribes. Gifts are given to both men and women, but offices in the church are to be occupied only by men. So there is a difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts. Very important. We must compare and contrast the general commands of ministries, which all of us are called to do. But at the same time, we must also know that those who have been equipped and gifted by the Lord would be able to do it more effectively. Then there is a difference between gift and office. That is what we have been studying in this slide. Another important thing, you know, I find sometimes when we study spiritual gifts, people don't fine tune it, you know, in relation to these matters. That's why I try to bring this up. Gift versus fruit, gifts of the Spirit, teaching and exhortation and leadership, showing mercy and hospitality and giving. You know, First Corinthians mentions a lot of miraculous gifts of, you know, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, performing of miracles in those days. So all those were given as gifts to the church. But what about the fruit of the Spirit? So gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:2, we have studied the fruit of the Spirit here on Wednesdays some time back. Not the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a cluster of spiritual qualities which the Holy Spirit produces in a believer. So the fruit of the Spirit is more related to our character, our commitment, the quality of our life, our discipleship, our dedication, or related to our spiritual maturity, spirituality, our devotion to the Lord. So certain qualities come out of my life and your life as a result of our walking with the Lord and being obedient to the Lord and being faithful disciples of the Lord and living in the fear of God. So the Holy Spirit, as you submit to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit produces certain godly qualities in you. That is called the fruit of the Spirit. But spiritual gift is God, something God gives you in His sovereign will, which is not related to your spiritual maturity or your spirituality. That is the reason the Corinthian church was a carnal church, but they were the most gifted church in the New Testament. Let me read a verse. Shall we turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See, this is a church, you know, as somebody has said, the saints gone wild in this church. Very divisive church, carnal church. I cannot talk to you as spiritual men. You are carnal. There is jealousy among you. This is about spiritual. This is about the condition of the church at Corinth. Then they had to exercise church discipline, people living in immorality, backsliding, you know, people questioning the apostleship of Paul, all those things. But you don't find a church in the New Testament like the Corinthian church. They were so gifted. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 7. So that you come short in no gift. So when Paul looked at them, he had, later in the chapters, he gives them a lot of admonition and corrections and stern warnings. But in the introduction, he is saying that, verse 1, you are Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth. You are a part of the body of Christ. To those who are sanctified, you are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Their positional truth, positionally, they are justified and sanctified and called and have been declared to be righteous before God. And they are the church of God in Corinth, very immoral city. But God established a church, and this congregation is that church in Corinth. And verse 7, you come short in no gift. Oh, there you, the Lord has tremendously blessed you with so many spiritual gifts. Then come to chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. You know, verse 3, you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Then look at their party politics in verse 4. When one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? You know, but highly gifted church. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. God gives his people irrespective of their spirituality and spiritual maturity. But the effectiveness of the way in which they exercise their spiritual gifts, their spiritual maturity and spiritual knowledge, commitment, may have a part to do, a role to play. But this is a sovereign matter related to God's sovereign will. So that is the reason God even uses believers who are not that committed and dedicated to accomplish God's purpose. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and he will get it done for his glory in whichever way. It may be through a brother or a sister who is not very exemplary, but God may use them for a season or for a reason to accomplish his purpose in certain situations. So that is the reason that 1 Corinthians is the epistle in which Paul talks a lot about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 13 about the importance of love in exercising spiritual gifts, and the love, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, is more important than gifts if I don't have love. See 1 Corinthians 13, even if I have faith to move all mountains, the gift of faith. See, the Corinthians took pride in this ostentatious, spectacular gifts of interpretation, tongues, and performing of miracles, or, you know, they concentrated on those things. That is why Paul gave them corrective advices on in chapter 14 on how to speak in tongues and the decorum they need to maintain. They didn't care about other gifts. They were into those spectacular gifts in spite of their spiritual bankruptcy. So the fruit of the Spirit is a cluster of spiritual qualities which the Holy Spirit produces in a believer as you submit yourself to the Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Only those who are spiritual, filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, manifest the fruit of the Spirit, while even the carnal believers are endowed with spiritual gifts and may exercise them. Because we'll just begin the next slide, that will make it clear. The distribution of spiritual gifts. The distribution of spiritual gifts. So let's see, most of these references to spiritual gifts, Ephesians 4 have a small list of spiritual gifts. Romans 12 has a list. But 1 Corinthians 12 has two lists of spiritual gifts and more elaborate discussion, because the Corinthians were preoccupied. They were so excited about the spiritual gifts, especially about the more spectacular and miraculous gifts. So the 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 and all are corrective commands Paul is giving to them, so that they may be able to exercise their spiritual gifts more graciously, more lovingly, and more productively. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, you know, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we have looked at the initial verses about pneumaticos and charismata and all. In verse the first chapter 12, almost the whole chapter is talking about spiritual gifts. In verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, about spiritual gifts. Because the passage context is talking about spiritual gifts. Who gives spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit gives, the same Spirit distributes it to each one. So every brother, every sister, boy or girl, if you are a believer, young and old, all of us, no exception, have been gifted by the Spirit, at least in one area, two area, or more areas of various spiritual gifts to exercise for God's glory. But look at this, the last part. So to each one individually, he gives it just as he wills. Not like what you want or what you desire, but just as he wills. That talks about God's sovereign will. So, who has given me spiritual gifts and you spiritual gifts? God. It's the Spirit of God in this passage. Why? For the edification of the body of Christ. It is His grace, because it is a grace gift. Why did He give you that? Purpose is for the glory. But why certain gifts to you and not to others? You don't have any control over it. His sovereign will. That was His will, His plan. So that you may accomplish certain things in His kingdom for His glory, just as He wills. So if a person A, believer A, has a spiritual gift and I don't have that gift, person B, there is no need of any competition or comparison or being proud or jealous about it. You can just waste your life being jealous. You don't have any control, because just as He wills, He is the one who has decided that. No one else, not assembly, not parents, not anyone, just as He wills. Very quickly, Ephesians chapter 4. So the Spirit of God gives spiritual gifts according to His will. Ephesians chapter 4, from verses 7 to 11. We will first read verse 7. But to each one of us grace, that is the grace gifts, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So then the passage talks about the incarnation and the resurrection and glorification of Christ. And He distributing spiritual gifts, verse 11, particularly talks about four leadership gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 7 talks about gifts in general. Verse 11 talks about specific gifts. So who gives it here? The resurrected, ascended, glorified Christ gives it. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 11, God, the Holy Spirit in His sovereign will, nobody else has a say in that. Here, the resurrected, ascended, glorified, victorious Christ. Romans 12, verse 3, another important chapter on spiritual gifts. Romans 12, verse 3. After talking about dedication, being living sacrifices to God, verse 3 begins the topic of spiritual gifts. Serve God with spiritual gifts. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Then verse 6 makes it clear. He's talking about gifts, spiritual gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given. So here, who gives? God the Father. So each person of the Godhead is involved in bestowing spiritual gifts. And the passages which talk about spiritual gifts all talk about each one, each one, each one. 1 Corinthians 12:7, 11, Romans 12:3, Ephesians 4:7, 1 Peter 4:10. These are the passages in the New Testament that deal with spiritual gifts. There, without exception, the word that is highlighted, the phrase, each one, nobody is exempted. Who gives it? God the Holy Spirit sovereignly distributes, sovereign will and plan. And the resurrected, ascended, glorified Christ, then God the Father, the triune God, like in the creation of the world and in the new creation, in the formation of the church, the triune God is involved. And in the same way, the triune God is involved in giving us spiritual gifts for the edification of the body of Christ. What a privilege, what an honor, what a stewardship, you know. And let us praise God and let us try to be humble, pure, and faithful servants of the Lord. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for these amazing truths about the spiritual gifts which thou hast endowed upon each and every one of us according to your sovereign will, plan, and purpose. We are not worthy. It is your gracious gift. And why you have given it to us? It is because of your sovereign will. Help us to know your will, plan, and purpose for each one of us. And help us to be faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God in our life. Unto that end, we commend and commit ourselves to you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.